festive, we celebrate, but we do need to remember those that have gone before us. I'm thinking back, you know, just listening to all the music and reflecting today, and it was 16 years ago that my mom passed away on this, actually not this day, but it was her birthday. And I was thinking back, it's been 16 years since she passed, but we all have people like that that have passed away, and we have to remember those that are in our circle, that they're dealing with loss probably in a lot of cases also, so I appreciate that reminder. You know, let me ask you guys a question that you've probably already heard a few times, if not more than a few times, this Christmas season already. Are you ready for Christmas? How many times do we hear that every single year, right? And how many more times will we hear it between now and Christmas Day in 5 short days? But for the title of the message, I'd like to put just a slight twist on that. Christmas, are we truly ready? You know, I guess when we're asked if we're ready for Christmas, what people mean is, do you have all your Christmas shopping done? Do you have all your decorations out? Have you sent all your Christmas cards? Have you baked all your cookies, et cetera, right? Those are the things that people mostly mean, don't they? Well, do you find yourselves now, 5 days away, in the Christmas rush? Do you find yourself running out of time, but your to-do list is still a mile long? When we get like that, we tend to forget the true reason for the season. We can forget Jesus in the hustle and bustle of the season. You know, I like to tell stories, so I'll start off with one. There was a little girl watching her mom and dad as Christmas drew closer, and she was watching them stress out. Dad was still very much worried about the deadlines and the commitments to his job. Mom seemed to not have enough time to get all the shopping done, all the parties she needed to attend to. And from the little girl's perspective, they just didn't have any time for her during this time. She felt so alone. She felt so shoved to the side. It almost, if they were saying to her, even though they didn't communicate it, I don't have time for you right now. She knelt beside her bed a few days before Christmas, and she simply said in this prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, please forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." Let's pray together before we move on. Let's bow. Father God, what an honor it is for all of us collectively to be able to worship you right now, to be able to call on your name and know because of your faithful, compassionate heart that you hear our prayers. Father, we're so grateful we get to do this as a body. We get to do this as the Memphis Church. We get to do this as our sister church in Jackson joins us. It's just extra special this morning, Father. Thank you so much for helping us to remember Jesus and the cross this morning. Thank you for helping us to remember that there's always more to give. Thank you for helping us remember Jesus through the songs we've sang to you this morning. Father, may we always remember until the very end that no matter what we're going through, no matter how stressful things are, and it has been stressful in 2020, that you have not left us, you have not moved. You are still as faithful as ever. And we praise you for that this morning. We love you passionately. Pray all this in the power of your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I say, are we truly ready for Christmas, I'd like to give you some things to think about, but let's first go to Matthew chapter 1. you guys know this story, but maybe I'll offer a couple of insights that you hadn't heard before, but maybe not. But it's good to be reminded. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, I like Joseph a lot. Joseph doesn't stand in the spotlight very long. Matter of fact, you can make the argument that he didn't stand in the spotlight at all. And we don't know a whole lot about his life. But Joseph, in our message today, can teach us a lot about our attitudes. Attitudes that can be real, not just at Christmas time, but all year long. The first one is to accept God's will. Accept God's will. No matter what the situation, no matter what God's will may be, we too can accept it. If Jesus can accept God's will in the garden after praying 3 times not to have to go to the cross, but ultimately get surrendered to God's will, we too, with his Holy Spirit living inside us, we can embrace God's will also. Put yourself in Joseph's position this morning. He thought his life was pretty well planned out. How about you? You pretty good at planning your life? It's good to be organized. It's good to have goals. It's good to have a plan, isn't it? Joseph was pledged to be married, which means he and Mary had made all the necessary arrangements. And the wedding ceremony was soon to take place. Joseph knew that he was going to wed Mary. They would settle down in Nazareth. He would continue on in his carpentry business. And they would live happily ever after, right? Sounds pretty good. Sounds like a good plan to me. But then Mary comes to Joseph and says, "I got something I need to tell you. I'm expecting a baby." Well, we've just introduced a curveball to the plan, haven't we? It must have hit Joseph like a bombshell. He thought Mary loved him as much as he loved her. But now, she's seemingly been unfaithful to him. He's got to be thinking, "I know she and I didn't do that. So how did this happen?" Can you imagine where your mind would go in that situation? What conclusion could he come up with other than she had been unfaithful to him? She had broken the bond that existed between the two of them. Make matters worse, according to the law, Mary should be stoned to death. But Joseph loves her so much, he doesn't want that. So he decides to divorce her quietly. But as he's thinking about these divorce proceedings, an angel comes to him and says, "Joseph, trust God. You may not understand what this whole situation means. It may not make sense to you, but trust God and his will. I bet you've been in a few of those situations, maybe not quite like this, but you've been in a few of those situations where you didn't understand God's will, but he was asking you to just trust him. Joseph's evidently a man of faith. But even living by faith is hard, isn't it? It's hard for you and I. If God doesn't do what makes sense to us, we get frustrated, don't we? When God doesn't do what we expect, then our faith is challenged. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith, not by sight, right? Joseph trusted God. He must have had many, many questions, just like you and I do when we don't understand. But at the end of the day, he trusted God to do what's best. You know, Christmas comes as a time of peace. But there's a lot of conflict in the world right now, isn't there? Christmas comes as a time of joy. But there's been a lot of sadness, especially in 2020. Christmas comes at a time, and it is a time of love. There's a lot of hatred in our world now also. We cry out just like Joseph must have cried out, God, how can this be? But can you still hear the whisper of God saying, trust me? Just trust me. The Bible says God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But he's still saying to you and I, trust me. I will work this out. I've got this. You know, Paul wrote, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. His purpose. Not mine, not yours. His purpose. Christmas happened because Joseph trusted God. And we need to learn to trust him as well. Okay? Second attribute or attitude we need to have is we need to care for others, right? We need to care for others. Looks like my screen is having difficulty. Here we go. We've got to care for others. Learn to care more for others. You know, Joseph's assignment was a pretty simple one. And we see it portrayed in Christmas plays all the time, don't we? We see Mary, oftentimes pictured with a halo over her head, looking so angelic. We've got shepherds. We've got wise men with their gifts.